celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Oh, you're going to want to stick around for this show today. Besides your phone calls, a couple of great guests. We have Jeremy Feig. He's written a book called How My Cat Made Me a Better Man. Apparently, he's one of these guys that was down and out. I guess he lived in a small apartment, didn't have any work, didn't have any girlfriends. Just really bummed with life. And he looked down at his cat, and his cat was just very happy and very content with life. So he figured perhaps there were some lessons he could learn from his cat.
And he did.
He did. He's written a book on it, a very good book, I might add. And we'll have giveaways of that book, as well as talk to Jeremy in just a few minutes. Also, from the Washington Post, Sadie Dingfelder will be joining us. I love that name, Dingfelder.
Dingfelder.
She tested the weirdest pet products on the internet. And there's some pretty weird things.
Oh, yes.
And these are all things that you can get by simply going online and ordering them. And she'll tell us her point of view on all of these items coming up in just a few minutes.
Or her animal's point of view.
True that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Semereau is with us with 10 million reasons the pet world is inspiring me. Do we have really enough time for that?
Did you
tell him that his segment's only just
he
a
needs
few...
to keep a little shorter.
Yeah, you might have to cut that down, Robert. Yeah. But 10 million reasons the pet world is inspiring me up with Robert Semereau in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Lori Brooks in the newsroom with Gordy et al. How you doing?
Yes.
What do you got?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Splendid. Splitting atoms over here. I noticed you haven't caught my cold yet. Everyone else has, but you're doing fine.
You know, I'm a germ phobe, so everything is Lysol down when I leave the studio. Coming up, though, cats are always getting into the most precarious predicaments, aren't they? You know, stuck somewhere. So how firefighters get cats unstuck. We'll give you their secret.
That's on the way right here on Animal Radio. But first, your calls for Dr. Debbie and Joey Villani. Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm okay.
What's going on?
Okay. I rescued this kitten about, it's been almost a year. I haven't had her spayed yet. I don't know if she's coming in heat or what, but she cries. I mean, like maybe once or twice out of the month, she'll like this crying sound.
Okay. And what is she doing when she's crying? Is she trying to track you down, trying to come closer to you? Is she by the doors?
Okay, I have four other cats, but they're all spayed. They've been spayed since they were real little. Mm-hmm. And she'll go up to them and lay down or try to rub up against them. And, I mean, just do all, you know, kinds of things. They love her, but I don't know if she's trying to come in heat. I don't know if she's hurting. She's like tall and skinny.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Pam. The simple truth, it sounds like your cat is just horny. it really does. Kitties will...
Last night, I brought a kitten from downstairs that hadn't been fixed up here. Well, he's...
Why? Are you looking for trouble here?
No, I'm not, but I wanted to find out if she was really in heat. And she slapped him, she got mad at him, she hissed at him, her hair stood up.
That's love.
I told my manager, just take him away because she was getting really violent.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, for kittens or for cats, they can go into heat generally about 6 months. But, you know, I've seen some female cats go into heat as early as 4 or 5 months of age. But when they do go into heat, it's pretty obnoxious. They'll definitely kind of meow, carry on. A lot of times they'll take their backside and stick it towards their favorite loved one, whether it's either a person or another animal. And they'll stick their tail up really high, do a lot of rolling behavior. Now, and they'll go in and out of heat, and that's the crazy thing with cats, is that it just doesn't stop. Like a dog will go into heat twice a year, generally, and you're done and over with it. With cats, you can count on this fun pretty much year-round, because they'll go into heat for a couple days, and then they'll go out for a couple weeks, and then it'll come back. So,
well,
exactly. I'd say... get that taken care of. But my goodness, you tempt fate getting that boy around there. And, you know, the way that cats mate, when they're mating, they actually turn around and they fight. So, you know, there's a little bit of love there, but there's also a little bit of hate.
Okay, because it was like, let me see how she acts with this one that hasn't been fixed. And because my male cats, you know, they've been fixed since they was kittens. And then, and they're like 9 years old, and my female's 9. But I rescued her out of the alley. Her mama just dropped her, and I've had her ever since. And they just took to her. Matter of fact, they made them lazy things get up and play. She made them play with her, but I just didn't know. I kept thinking, man, she just kept, my daughter said, Mama, she's coming in heat too much if that's what she's doing.
Yeah, you got to get it done. And not only for her to go out of heat, but there's a lot of health issues.
I know.
A lot of, she could avoid. What kind of cancers can she avoid, doctor?
Well, the big thing in females, it would be avoiding mammary cancer. That's the big one. So if we take away that that estrogen production, then we can decrease the risk of breast cancer. But there's also the other, you know, pyometra, the uterine infection. And, you know, just that desire for her to sneak out that door when she's feeling especially amorous. So, yeah. And you know, you asked something, you know, is she in pain? We don't know. It's certainly possible that cats could be having cramps. We don't know. So, you know, I guess you'd make the argument, heck, most women hate their periods. So, you know, why not spare her that heartache there? So.
Very good. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it, Pam.
Well, don't forget you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now, why don't you? It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, everywhere in between. Visit them now at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear-Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Florida.
Florida. So, oh.
Little north of West Palm Beach in Stuart.
Well, Dr. Debbie's right here. What's going on with your animals?
Well, the problem that I have is I have a 100-pound boxer, or almost 100, and I have a mutt, but they drink a lot of water. But what my problem is, I have a water bottle in the garage turned upside down, and, you know, the 5-gallon bottle on top of a bowl. It used to only be a 2-gallon, and I put a bigger one on, but it mm-hmm. would get all moldy inside. So my vet told me it was okay to use pool water in it, which keeps it clear. But I'm just worried about them drinking so much pool water continuously. I mean, they always have fresh in the house, but they're always outside because they just have to be out with you.
Okay. So where is this water container? It's in the garage or it's outside?
No, it's in the garage, but it's just the way it is. It's so hot here and humid that it gets, you know, the bottle just starts getting moldy, and they drink quite a bit, plus other dogs visit, and they go through I probably fill it twice a week.
Definitely in a hot environment. So if we have a large amount of water, we can definitely have some mold accumulation, some different things growing in there. So that's not an ideal situation. And definitely changing it more than twice a week, I'd have to say, for any water source, ideally we'd be changing that water daily, because that alone will help decrease the incidence of things growing in that water and just losing its freshness. But, you know, I'm not opposed to pool water, and dogs drink pool water as long as we're dealing with the really diluted chlorinated water that's in pools. It's really not a big deal. The problem comes if you have pools that are shocked and that have the high concentration of the chlorine, the chemicals in that. That's when we really don't want to be touching that water. That should not be any business for the doggies at that time. But for every, you know, everyday water, it's not a big deal. And, you know, some folks, you know, will even add a little bit of bleach to drinking water as a way to keep it safe if you're out hiking. So that's even one thing that we can do is use some very dilute bleach in the drinking water.
That was my next question, as opposed to, you know, them continuously having to pull water, because I'm just out. I work so much outside, and they're always out with me, and they're just continuously using this bottle. And, I mean, you know, they kill it, but it's still, it just starts getting green. And that was another suggestion, was 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water. And I wasn't sure about, I mean, they say it's okay for humans if you let it sit 30 minutes, but I wasn't sure for these guys, or just stay with the pool water and I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a benefit with the bleach, and I think what you said is much higher than what I typically use. I only use about 8 drops per gallon for the sanitizing that water. So at that level, you might pick up a little bit of an odor of bleach, but you just kind of let it sit, like you said, and it should be okay for long-term ingestion. But you don't want to eyeball it. You really want to measure it out because if you get enough bleach ingested, and that could be a problem if you're just kind of winging it on the dilution there.
Hey, Doc, what about those spigots? Aren't there spigots that you can turn on but don't drip the water where the dog drinks and it only comes out when the dog drinks from it? Aren't there things
like
that?
Yeah, that's a great setup as well if you can do that, and if you have the water source where you can set that up outside. So, yeah, that's a nice alternative as well. Because you definitely want to have fresh water. You know, there's so many different protozoas that can, even just in a sitting bowl of water.
Yeah.
So whether or not we're having large amounts, things like Giardia, which is a protozoa that, you know, it's just a common everyday thing. We can find it in dog bowls, cat bowls, if the water in the bowl is not changed frequently enough. So that is imperative. And definitely, we want those dogs to drink tons of water. It's good for them. And especially if they're out and they're active in that high temperature, we want to give lots of fresh water for them.
And it's a high temperature, but it's the humidity. Like on my back porch, even where the pool is, I'll get like mold, slime. They'll start to grow on the glass on the sliding doors. It gets funky back there even.
Yeah, John, you know, you make me thrilled that I live in the desert environment. I don't have to worry about mosquitoes. I don't have to worry about green slime. It's great out here.
You know, when you started this call, I wanted to be there in Florida with you.
Call me around Christmas time.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Well, you found us. We're Animal Radio. This is where we celebrate the connection with your pets. Grab your pets. Bring them on around the radio if you're not already with them, cuddled up and listening. And, of course, if you have questions about your pets or if you just want to check in, it's easy to do. You can do it toll-free from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And it's a free download. You ask your questions directly from the app. It has a special hotline number right to the studio. You may not have a question now, but let's say in the middle of the week, next week, something happens to your animal and you need to talk to the doctor. You can use it right from the free Animal Radio app. And let's see, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Sadie Dingfelder. And she tested the weirdest products on the internet, like the Licky Brush. Remember those people we had on a few weeks ago?
Oh, yes.
With the cat tongue, so you can lick your cat.
And brush him at the same time without the hairballs.
She also has some weird, weird items like the Turd Burglar.
The what?
Turd Burglar. I have a feeling it has something to do with dog poop. We'll find out with her in just a few minutes. And just before that, we're going to do a check of the news with Lori Brooks. What are you working on for this hour?
You soon may have a new favorite pet specialty store because, well, you know, there are two huge ones. But now there are two other less big stores that have merged to become the third biggest pet retail specialty store. So we'll tell you what that is.
So we know that there's Petco and there's PetSmart. So you're telling me there's a third one that's going to be entering the arena here?
Mm-hmm.
On the way right here on Animal Radio. Got to stick around for that. Let's go to the phones for your calls right now. Hey, Cheryl, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on in your world?
Well, I have a five-year-old mixed breed dog who is part Shepherd, and she is having issues with bladder stones. About 4 months ago, we had one removed, and she has another.
Okay. Did you have the stone analyzed? Do we know what it was made out of?
No, we did not do that one. We will on this one. I still have that stone, actually.
Oh, well, excellent. You take that to your veterinarian and send that out. The reason is because it's so important that we know what these stones are made of. Some stones we can prevent with diet. Some breeds are kind of predisposed to certain variety of stones. There's calcium-based stone, phosphorus, silica, urate. Oh, my gosh, there's so many. In German Shepherds, I would first think of a silica-based stone. It's one that this type of breed is just prone to. And so that's where that test is going to be so important to have that analyzed. If it is, it can be a very challenging stone to prevent, but some steps that we'll do are to move to diets that are very low in vegetable matter. Silica is very rich in things like different types of corn hulls, rice hulls, soybeans, anything basically that kind of grows out of the ground. Even potatoes can have silica. So for pets that have this particular type of stone, we'll go to more of a no-grain diet. But the big thing is if anything is reoccurring, we got to make some steps and do some dietary changes to try to help out. And then the other things going along with that, any type of bladder stone, the ways we can help a pet to expel those crystals and the microscopic forms of those stones is to make sure they're producing lots and lots of urine. And the way we do that is we encourage them to drink, but, you know, you can't always force it down. But we can add things like a little bit of salt to the food, and that increases their thirst, and that'll increase the urine output. The other thing would be just a simple way to do that is canned foods have a higher moisture content. So whatever diet your veterinarian says is going to be the appropriate one for your baby, the canned varieties are definitely going to be the better way to go to just try to create lots of urine. And that way, we help to kind of basically flush the system naturally and try to get those crystals out before they build up into a stone. But there's a lot of other things that we have to look at. So really the first thing I'd say is get that stone tested and then find out if we've got infection going on. Because there's some stones that will be triggered by a low-grade infection in the bladder. And we've just got to get more info to better tackle this for the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, Cheryl. And give your baby a pat on the head.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. Are you thinking of getting a dog? Well, here's some things to think about before you do it. Firstly, are you out of the house a lot? Do you work all the time? Give the idea of getting a dog some thought if you're in that situation. I mean, put yourself in the dog's shoes. Imagine being locked up all alone all day with, well, nobody to play with. There are some dogs that like to lay around a lot and they're less active, but most dogs need exercise. They need playtime and interaction. Sometimes folks don't think about it, but dogs are living things and you can't turn them on and off when you want to like your TV. When you get one, you're making a major commitment to spend, the next 13 to 16 years of your life committed to a living thing, making sure it has a good life. I bring this up because a lot of folks go out and get dogs without actually knowing what they're in for. And again, education is your most powerful tool. You should read up. Ask yourself why you want a dog and make a list of all the reasons. Then look your list over closely. And if you still think you want a dog because you'd be a great dog parent and enjoy satisfying your dog's needs, decide whether or not you want a puppy or an adult dog. Puppies have lots of needs. They need exercise. They need to be around lots of people and lots of other dogs. They're learning about the world and it's up to you to show it to them. Plus, you got to potty train them, teach them what not to chew on. In fact, you got to teach them all the rules and ropes. Adult dogs usually are a lot less work and a lot more mellow, too. In fact, it's possible to get a rescue dog or an adult dog that requires very little. Maybe just a good long walk every day and some affection. The one thing you don't want to do is bring a dog home and be in for lots of surprises, not know what to expect. You know, stuff like finding your favorite shoes chewed up or the drapes pulled down, carpet pulled up, door chewed up. I've seen it all. You would not believe the destruction that a dog can do to your house. So before you get a dog, Think long and hard, make a list, and do a lot of research and reading so that you both can be happy. I'll tell you this much, there's nothing more rewarding than having a dog. They're incredibly loyal. They're always happy to see you. They never lie to you, and they give you unconditional love.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. The founder of PetFinder.com has announced the launch of her newest website project. It is 911fosterpets.com. PetFinder is credited with finding over 25 million homes for adoptable pets. That's according to its founder, Betsy Saul, who says that to this day, she is still haunted by some of the special souls that she met along the way that just really needed a little extra time to find their forever home. She adds that her new website will be dedicated to finding short-term foster families for those urgent animals. The mission of 911fosterpets.com is going to be to create a foster revolution to give shelter pets that extra time that they need so they can live. And the site really sounds pretty easy to work. Here's how it goes. Animal shelters will post pets that are urgent. Now, urgent implies that those pets will be euthanized in 48 hours or less. Potential foster families can search the urgent pets in their community with various search criteria, like, you know, how long you can foster, etc. And once a foster family sees a pet that they would like to help, all they have to do is click the foster button and it connects them with the shelter where the pet is. You can sign up at 911fosterpets.com, and they say they will even notify you when new urgent pets in your community are posted. Well, you've probably heard the helpful hint that, you know, using soap will help get a ring off if it's, you know, stuck on your finger. So there must have been a few firefighters in Massachusetts who knew that trick too, because they used dish soap to help rescue a cat that had become stuck in a storm drain grate. The one-year-old cat was actually dangling below the grate with its head stuck in one of the holes. When the firefighters arrived, the cat, they say, was barely breathing, but quick-thinking firefighters removed the grate, and then they placed it on the ground in such a way that allowed the cat, you know, some room to breathe. Then they used the soap to work on getting the cat's head loose, and within a few minutes, that cat was free and clean. The chain stores Pet Value and Pet Supermarket have now merged, creating the third largest pet specialty retailer in North America. The new company is called Pet Retail Brands, and you'll be hearing that a lot. It's got more than 930 stores across the U.S. and Canada. And I bet you know, but if you don't, the top two biggest pet retailers are, of course, PetSmart and Petco. Well, cars are developed for people. Obviously, pets don't drive, but pets are not even thought of when it comes to vehicle safety right now, even though the Center for Pet Safety says that dogs are the number one traveling companion. Well, now there is a small group of engineers and workers at an auto supply company up in Michigan, and they want to engineer seats and devices and such to protect pets as well as humans better. They've been studying various sizes and breeds of dogs and how dogs travel while they're in cars. They've been using dogs whose owners work at this company, and they've surveyed them and asked a lot of questions and observed a lot. And then they've had researchers record video of how dogs actually get in and out of the vehicles and what dogs do while their owners are driving. So the process of making cars safer for pets is now officially underway. And think about it. It's actually making the car safer. It's not just about the things that we put in it. And they've also began sketching what a safer car might look like. In many ways, this is the next step in vehicle safety. It's also a largely unstudied area with absolutely no government or industry standards. So while the group at Johnson Controls has started their work, it's not going to be until next year that they hope that they can develop some standards for the government to use for pet travel safety. And they estimate that it's going to take at least a decade, can you believe that, before actual safety devices and their applications for pets can be used universally by all the automakers for cars. In fact, think about this, the comparison. They liken their journey to that of the development of auto safety for children, which came about out of a demand for more child passenger protection way back in the 60s when they discovered children riding on their parents' laps in the front seat of a car offered that child no protection in an accident. Yet everybody did it all the time. And nowadays, of course, you would never see that. So this could be a very long road. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
She here on the phone. Oh, this is great. We're going to talk to a reporter for the WashingtonPost.com. She did a column where she tried out the weirdest pet products on the internet. There's a lot of weird ones. In fact, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, we had the people from Licky Brush on.
Yeah, the makers of Licky Brush came on and talked about it.
That was the brush that's like a tongue that you put in your mouth, and it's a combination brush, and you lick your cat. And it's always something I've wanted to do without getting the hairballs. It was a Kickstarter project, and it did phenomenally well. In fact, I believe they're selling out of this item right now.
Yeah, they did. I got in on it.
We go to the phones right now. We have Sadie Dingfelder. Is that how you say your last name, Sadie?
That's right. That's right.
Dingfelder. Okay. Well, Sadie, welcome to the show. You tried all these weird items out for your column, and I wanted you to tell us some of the items you tried out and whether you liked them or not.
Yeah. Well, I did try out the Licky Brush. They only had a prototype available.
Okay.
So it tasted a little funny, and my editor was concerned that it might not be, like, food safe, like maybe you weren't supposed to put it in your mouth, but I called the Licky Brush people. They assured me it was fine, so I licked my cat with it.
Now, what did your cat think about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what is the reaction?
He was very much not into it. We have a video on our website of my cat avoiding me with the Licky Brush. He thought it was super weird.
Well, it is super weird. Besides the Licky Brush, what else did you get a chance to try?
Well, let me tell you, in my living room right now, much to my boyfriend's chagrin, is a huge cat wheel. It's like a hamster wheel, but for cats.
Oh, I think that's such a great idea because cats really do need exercise.
Let me tell you, I have tried to walk my cats and they're not into it. So I was really excited about this wheel to get them some exercise in my little one bedroom apartment.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, my personal cats were too light to make the wheel rotate.
Oh. You were able to even get them on the wheel, yeah?
Yes. It took like almost a week of clicker training to get Fuzz, the more compliant cat, on the wheel. But he really couldn't get it moving.
Okay, what else do you have?
Okay, the funniest name for a product was the Turd Burglar.
Turd Burglar?
Turd.
Okay.
Turd Burglar.
Okay.
And it was an attachment for a hockey stick, and you used it to... It really confused my friends because it's for sort of picking up poop, like your dog's poop.
Uh-huh. With a hockey stick.
It's with a hockey stick. So I believe it's actually, when I grew up, we had some golden retrievers in a big backyard.
Uh-huh.
And one of my chores was to sort of chuck the poo into a corner. So I think that's more what the Turd Burglar is for. It's not for people who live in cities who are walking their dogs and need to get the poo into like a park garbage can.
It's to throw it over your neighbor's fence.
Right, exactly.
So did you find this item useful at all?
I can imagine it being useful for someone like and with a yard.
Yeah, and you have to have a hockey stick. Is that correct?
You have to own a hockey stick. I think it might have been invented in Canada or somewhere in the northern
Everyone
United
owns
States.
One there, yeah.
Yeah.
We're with Sadie Dingfelder, and she's tried the weirdest things on the internet. Sorry about that. She's tried the weirdest things on the internet.
The burglar story that did it.
These are all pet products that you can get online mostly, and they're kind of bizarre and weird, and we've gone through a few of them. We have a couple more to take a look at here. What else do you have?
Bacon bubbles.
Bacon bubbles.
Now, that seems like it would be a hit.
Yes.
You know what? I totally agree. I thought that would be a hit, but it wasn't. We tried it on a few dogs. None of them seemed to care about it. And then I thought, you know, dogs have an exceptionally good sense of smell. I mean, it's so incredible. Mm-hmm. And so I bet that this is just sort of a fake bacon sort of smell or flavor that can trick humans, but it's not going to fool a dog.
Okay, I can tell the
I'm
difference.
Assuming just by the name, these are like bubbles like you would have in a little bottle and you would blow when you were a kid, all those little...
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, and now my living room still smells faintly of synthetic bacon.
Foul meat.
Okay. From trying that out indoors.
So the dogs did not like it, but you were intrigued.
I was intrigued. It made me hungry. Made me wish for breakfast. And then the last one I tried was a total, it just didn't work at all, which is really too bad because what it does, it's called puppy tweets, like puppy treats, but with tweets as in Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. And you put it on your dog, and so then when you're at work and you miss your pet, you can just check their personal Twitter account, and it basically chooses from, I think, 300 pre-written tweets based on its activity level. But puppy tweets did not work because it requires you to download software that's no longer available because it apparently had been discontinued like a year ago.
This was made by Mattel, too, wasn't it?
Yes, that was made by Mattel, and I called Mattel customer service and asked if they could please email me or give me the software somehow, and they were not able to.
Well, those are some great items. And now, is your column normally about pets?
I'm a humor columnist, okay. So I write about a huge variety of things, but often that does include my cats. I did clicker train one of my cats to cuddle with me.
I got to say, I'm amazed you were actually able to train a cat at all. That's pretty
amazing.
Yeah,
you know, if you have a food-motivated cat, they're not that hard to train.
Yeah, my cat's like, he looks at me like I just asked him for a ride to the airport or something like that. Or, you know, he's... Sadie Dingfelder is our guest. She's from the Washington Post. WashingtonPost.com is the website, and of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at AnimalRadio.com, including all these weird items that she has just mentioned.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets, toll-free. Dr. Debbie and Joey Volani taking your calls. Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, in studio along with Molly, Gordy, and the whole team mostly here today in studio. So, oh, come up on my lap. There you go. Hopefully you have your animals with you wherever you are right now. Hopefully you get to take them with you to work. And if you don't, tell your boss that you could be more productive. It's true. Statistics show that offices that allow pets are actually more productive.
I don't want, just anybody out there, have your boss call us. We'll tell them.
Yeah, talk to either Judy or Ladybug.
Yeah, I'll
about
set
this.
Them straight.
Don't forget, you can also ask your questions from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And it's really easy to do that. And also, if you have that app, if there's ever a recall or news that you need that really affects you and your pet, that will be right there in your hands immediately. As soon as the recall's out, you'll get it right there on your iPhone or your Android device. So download it now. It's a free download. There's no reason not to have the Animal Radio app. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Jeremy Feig, and he wrote a book called How My Cat Made Me a Better Man.
It's one of those self-help books.
It is a self-help book. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm not much of a self-help guy. I don't really like self-help books, but this is a book that I will read. I've actually started to crack it between the commercials here because he's not only very funny, but he deals with some pretty interesting topics. And he's the kind of guy who, like me, was down and out, lived in a small place, no girlfriend, no job. Things were looking pretty bad. And he looked down at his cat and he said, "Why is my cat so damn happy?" And he applied those lessons that he learned from his cat to his life, and now he's doing well.
He's happy.
He's a happy guy. Because it doesn't really take... You know, our animals are pretty happy with some pretty basic things. They got a nice bone or a toy or a home or just your love. And, you know, giving them your love is the most important thing you can give your animals.
Yeah, your love and your time.
So go give them a hug right now.
Let's take one for Dr. Debbie. We have Matt. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Dr. Debbie, I got a question for you about my... He's about 5.5-year-old golden doodle.
All righty. What you got?
Well, he had PPLO surgery about 6 weeks ago. And I was wondering how soon is too soon to, you know, let him go to the groomer and get himself cleaned up. He's kind of getting to be a stinky little fella.
So I'm going to have to explain for Hal. TPLO surgery. I knew that question was coming. TPLO surgery is done for dogs that have a ruptured cruciate ligament, which is one of the major ligaments in the knee. So just like a football player that blows out their knee taking that turn and making that catch, dogs jumping off a couch or catching a frisbee can blow out the knee the same way. Okay. So your doggy ruptured that. Now, how's he getting along post-surgery at this time?
You know, the next day he actually walked out of the vet underneath his own power, and he's been doing great. The hardest thing is keeping him calm. He wants to jump on everything, and that's the hardest part of it. He amazingly is doing well. He did rip out all his stitches after 7 days, but or his staples, I should say.
I'm not surprised. He may have what we term goofy retriever syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. I've coined that because I have one myself. He's a goofy retriever. Prone to just trouble. Are you having difficulty keeping him from doing things at this point now, huh?
Yeah, we really are. We had taken our half of our bed and put it downstairs as to keep him off the stairs, you know, and stuff like that, but now we are walking him up the stairs on the lead. We've never had to harness his back, but we are having a hard time keeping him down. Like when he sees other dogs out the window, he wants to run around the living room. Kind of hard to slow him down. Yeah. And when he wants to go real fast, he just lifts the leg up and then hops around on three. It's kind of hysterical, but, you know.
He takes the slow leg out from underneath him, and then he can really move.
Yes, exactly. That's go-fast mode.
Yeah. Well, with a dog that recovers from a TPLO surgery, normally the healing time we're looking at about 2 to 3 months out. And about 8 weeks after the surgery is when ideally we ought to get an x-ray to see how the bone is healing, because there is a plate involved with that. And we want to make sure that there's good healing callus of that bone there. That might make some difference in whether or not we want to give you a kind of free rein to get into some of the grooming activities. I'd have to say because he has goofy retriever syndrome, and then, you know, we might push that back as far as we can for your typical standard type grooming. That being said, there are some dogs that I have to get some kind of grooming done, whether they're just stinky, dirty from, you know, being post-surgery or what have you. If we do have to get him to a groomer or do a home bathing, there are some precautions that I would do, and one is to use a non-stick mat in the bathing tub, because that's very important. We don't want him slipping and losing his footing in any way. And jumping in and out of a tub is a horrible thing for a dog after this type of surgery. So if possible, we'd try to either do this. I've even bathed some dogs in our dog runs at the office, where we don't have to even worry about the up and down. And that helps to kind of make us feel better about that whole experience. And then, you know your dog and know your groomer. If it seems like it's something they can pull off without risk of injury, you know, then it may be okay. But for a lot of these really silly, exuberant retrievers, I would push off the true grooming until we're cleared by the doctor that everything's healed.
Okay. No, that sounds good. You know, I could deal with most of it. It's just his face is getting kind of crusty, and I wasn't sure how to handle that.
Yeah. But, my dogs, they love a good hot rag on their face, and I call it the doggy spa. So they come and I get the hot, warm towels, and I put on their face, and they push and shove and push their way up. They get their ears clean and get the doggy spa. So, you know, even something as simple as that may make him feel good. And, you know, just like us, you gotta look good to feel good.
Check out Animal Radio Highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Animal Radio. This hour, we're going to talk to Jeremy Feig. He's written a book called How My Cat Made Me a Better Man. It is a tremendously great book, funny, and it talks about everything from stress relief to relationships, how to better your life through your cat, well, through his cat.
I think ladies should stick around because we just love men who love cats.
Exactly.
There's not a lot of men that admit that they love cats.
See, admit right. being the key word. I think there's a lot of men that do, but they don't want to say it.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
I think people, when they think of me, Hal, they think of macho, and they think of what? What are you laughing at?
Nothing, Hal.
A cat. How you love cats, and we love that about you.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, well, you see, I do love my cats, and I admit it right here on this national radio show, and I've actually learned a little bit from this book, which hopefully he'll give you some tips, too. If you're one of those stressed-out people, you think things are really bad in your life right now, you want to stick around for Jeremy. That's just around the corner right here. After your calls and after a check of news with Miss Lori Brooks, what are you working on in the newsroom this hour?
We're going to tell you what this pet humanization trend is. What does that mean? And everything you wanted to know about the world of dog food, and especially those premium brands coming up.
Ooh, I have a feeling there's a lot of dirty secrets, because you know why? I know it's a big business. I know it's like billions of dollars worth. And whenever there's money involved, there's always deceit and lies.
Exactly. Cutting corners.
Yeah. $23 billion.
23?
How much was $23 billion was what was spent on dog food last year in this country.
Wow. Okay. So when you're dealing with that kind of money, there's probably lots to know, and Lori will tell us about it in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to the phones. Don't forget, you can ask your questions from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download that puppy now. Let's go to line 3. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
So what's going on with your animal?
Well, I have my dog, Misha. She's about 3 years old. She's totally housebroken, has been for a very, very long time. And I was visiting my mom down in St. Augustine Beach, and Misha started, in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, she started crying. And then all of a sudden, just peed on the bed. This is not a dog. She has had a history of bladder infections, but this one just cleared up with antibiotics in 12 hours.
And how many bladder infections has she had over time?
Let's see. The first year that I had her, she probably had 3 of them, and then we got her onto the science diet food that's specific for, you know, CD or whatever. And then the vet thought, you know, she'd been well for several years now and that we could try to take her off it. Well, this happened within 2 months of changing the food to a cheaper brand. I'm just wondering if that could have been a coincidence or if you think it could have been another recurrent bladder infection that kind of came and went that fast just by changing out that food.
Wow, you know, that's definitely suspect if there was a diet change and she broke. Now, during the time she was on that diet, had she had any urinary tract infections?
She did not.
Ooh, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it kind of seems like duh, but at the same time, it was almost like too quick on changing the food almost that it, I don't know.
Okay, now did they get a urine sample at that time?
Not able to.
Oh, darn, because that would have been great. Yeah. I mean, that would be the evidence we need to prove this. But I'd say it is suspicious because any diet that a pet is on, when we're talking about trying to control urine environment, there are some pets that pH can really play a role in crystal formation and urinary tract infection. So any diet, when you switch that, the pH may change and that urine environment is going to change. So, yeah. We could be setting up for some problems, and she may be telling you, gosh, Mom, you know, I do need a therapeutic diet to help manage this problem. But I would say, yeah, I would love that evidence, and I'd love to get that urine sample, because then I think you could kind of maybe either ease your mind or know with more accuracy about that.
Yeah, she's just so skittish sometimes. It's hard to get near her when she's going. A couple years ago, we put her through the needle biopsy part where they stuck the needle in and they pulled it out, and they did find some crystals in it then, which is why we did the CD. But she's not showing any sign of any kind of problem now for so long. I thought it might be safe to try, and this it came on. It was
probably wasn't even
a month. I mean, it was immediate.
And I don't blame you for trying there. I mean, realistically, everyone wants to find something that works. And then if you don't need it anymore, you know, you wouldn't want to give it. But for me, I would definitely say, yeah, a urine sample. And it might not be a bad idea for a kid that's had a problem in the past with recurrent urinary infections. You know, getting that sterile sample would be important. And, you know, it wouldn't be overkill to check an x-ray to make sure we don't have anything like a bladder stone that's just kind of lurking there. Because definitely something with bladder stones, they can cause some little micro trauma to the bladder wall. And I've had dogs that have lived with them for years. And then we pick them up as oops, we're taking an x-ray because the dog was vomiting. And then they have this ugly stone in their bladder. And then, you know, we go, wow, this dog never complained about any kind of urine problem. But yeah, so some of these things can be kind of sneaky in that way. So
I guess 2.5 years ago, and in fact, we did CT, we did ultrasound, we did all kinds of stuff just trying to find out what was going on. There were some tiny, small evidence of very small crystals, but then it just seemed to go away with this diet, and the vet thought it might be safe to try her on something else. And I thought maybe it could have been environment, because she's not used to being at my mom's. I had her in a strange place, and she's skittish anyway, so I just thought I'd try to maybe get another opinion on it.
Yeah, no, so right now, what food is she eating?
Science diet. I love my dog. I'd put her on the science diet immediately.
You put her back on the diet. Okay.
Any problem, I would never, ever take a chance. I normally wouldn't take a chance anyway, but I'll try to save money because, you know, it's tough out there.
Sure. Yeah. And even if you can't get a sterile sample at the veterinary office, you know, if she's calmer with you around and she's not pee shy, you know, once she's settled, you know, back on that CD diet, it would be worthwhile to at least get a clean urine catch. And kind of like, you know, we go to the doctor's office and they have a whole process they tell you when you get a clean urine sample. So we can try our best just at home to collect a urine sample from our pets. And with the advent of, you know, those throwaway Tupperware containers or some great throwaway plastics you can use, and just kind of slide that underneath her, let her void and let her go for a few seconds, then put it in the stream of urine, and you're going to be more apt to catch a more clean, free catch sample. And that might be more meaningful for your veterinarian. We always want that sterile one caught in the office if we can, but if not, right. You know, that might be a good short second substitute there.
Usually when I bring her in, as soon as the veterinarian takes her leash, she's on the floor.
Those are frustrating patients, I'll tell you. I've got a couple that I just even look at them, so I can't even touch them, look at them. I just kind of walk them down the hallway and I say, please, 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 like, make it till the ultrasound. We can do it. We can do it. And my shoe gets soaked most of the times.
Kathleen, we thank you for your call today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This one passed on to me from humble Hal Abrams, your man with the plan at Animal Radio. He seems to have a problem with guys who go on and on when it comes to neutering their dogs. And I'll tell you, it's really no different. I know exactly what he's talking about. It's really no different than those guys who have a little boy. They have a son, and they're talking about circumcision or just anything in general. Men just are very, very territorial when it comes to their offspring or their pets' privates. They feel it gives them pause to do to become stand-up comedians. My dog, he's not the same anymore. His bark's going to go from roof to roof. Or that the dog is not going to be the same. Yeah, within the first couple of days, he's not going to be the same. And yeah, he may have a look in his eyes like, dude, thanks a lot. But basically, everything your vet says about the neutering situation is true. One, we do need a bit of population control when it comes to pets. There is an overabundance of dogs and cats. The outcome is not something any pet lover, any animal lover wants to see. So it is a wise thing to do. And it does. There's nothing worse than that overheated animal who is calling your barca lounger his girlfriend. So all of these things, all of the benefits of neutering are intact. But the guy who says, you've got to bring him to his wife. You must drop him off. I can't do it. Why? Is there a horse race that day? Is there a Sopranos marathon on A&E? Give the real answer. Don't say it has anything to do with your heart is breaking. How can a man do this to his dog? And all of these routines, guarantee it's like your father coming over to your house after you've had a vasectomy. And he's like, what did you do? You're just laying there looking at him the same way your dog's going to be looking at you. Like, could you just kind of get out of here? I'm stitched up a little bit tender. And your little comedy routine here is really kind of annoying me. You're really a pain in the ass right now. And that's not an area I need a pain in because I've got one kind of not far from there. I know I had one of my dogs neutered at one point, and it was the best thing we did because he was really uncomfortable. He was unsightly, to say the least. And I've got to be honest with you. I'm going to be as candid as I can be when it comes to these party animal segments. I did the little routine when I dropped him off. He was scheduled for a few hours later. And I said, let my man have some fun in the other room with some of the girl dogs before you go in there. And of course, they're like, you want him to knock up three or four of our female pets right now before he has the incision. That's really not protocol. And you're just standing there thinking, I was just doing some stand up. I don't know why. There's a gravitational pull of some sort for me to do a bad routine out here in the lobby. But nonetheless, there is something like that that goes on. Spaying, neutering, we all know how important it is. But even more important, ixnay, the stand-up comedy, boys. I'm Vinny Penn, Party Animal, Animal Radio.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on?
Hi, this is Tanya Tucker on Animal Radio. Love those pets.
Alan Cable, here's your real dogs doing amazing things. Watch.
You wouldn't think he's 10 years old just by the way he acts.
Tucker gets into a lot of trouble.
Known in the family to be the food burglar.
And because of that, an amazing secret that was hiding in Tucker's belly is about to be revealed to the world.
After I turn around, the popsicle is gone.
Tucker ate it stick and all.
You know, smacking his jaws.
But you know, with dogs, often what goes in comes right back out.
Stick and all, everything came out.
2 days later, something else came out.
And I look in the paper towel, and here is my wedding ring. I kid you not. My wedding ring?
Her ring went missing 5 years ago.
I was devastated.
The vet thinks the popsicle stick may have dislodged the ring.
Friends have said, I want a dog that throws up diamonds. Like, who doesn't, right? So I have my wedding ring back, and Tucker is, he's my hero.
Hero? That dog's a jewel thief.
And I don't even care.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It just made me think about Mick Jagger expecting his ninth child with 29-year-old.
Isn't it his eighth child?
Yeah. Is it his eighth child?
I think it's his eighth
child. Yeah.
With the 29-year-old.
I don't know how many.
Who's counting?
Is it, yeah. Is it just a girlfriend or is it a wife? What is it? Yeah, nobody
Who
really.
Who knows?
Yeah, he should have had.
His partner.
His partner, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He should have just had cats, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I've done, and I've been very blessed with my cats. I've learned a lot from my cats, as Jeremy Feig has, and we'll learn a little bit about what he's learned. I know he's one of those people that just looked around, didn't like life, and then looked at his cat and said, why is my cat so happy and I'm so miserable? And he's written a book which covers everything from relationships to health, stress, careers, happiness. It's actually a pretty good book, and I'll have giveaways of it in just a few minutes after we talk to him right here on Animal Radio. Also, on the way, your calls. And if you need your fix during the week, by the way, you can head on over to animalradio.pet. You can also download the Animal Radio app from the website there. Yeah, pet. I didn't say .com. I said pet. Animalradio.pet. That's a brand new
That's
domain.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Digging on that.
You know, you're right. When did that happen?
That's like in the last 6 months that's happened. And so we snapped it up immediately. I didn't do it. Actually, one of the dogs here.
Oh, okay. But you haven't been saying animalradio.pet for the last 6 months, and I didn't notice until today, right?
Yeah. You can actually get to the website from animalradio.com also, but I like saying pet because it's different,
it
and it
is.
Reminds
that's,
you about what we're all about.
That's cool.
Because we're here to celebrate your pets. That's what we do. In fact, if you look down on your phone right now and all the pictures are of your pet, or in your wallet, all the pictures are of your pet, this is your show, because we're just a little over the top about our pets. We love our pets. We spoil them. They're all with us right now, and we'll give them a better food than we eat. And speaking of food, it's a big business, and in a few minutes, Lori's going to talk about it. It's, I guess you were saying it's like a $23 billion business.
Yeah, and it is. It's huge, I mean, to the economy also, but I am obsessed with dog food and dog nutrition, cat food, cat nutrition, same thing. So while we're on this subject today, and you will always hear those stories here on Animal Radio, but how Velcro figures in now, because everybody's getting into the act, into the pet food business.
Velcro.
Wow. Yeah.
Velcro and dog food? You're saying there's some kind of correlation there?
I thought you were going to use Velcro just to make your dog sit and stay.
Velcro him to the floor there?
Exactly.
My dog doesn't need that. If you give my dog food, and my dog's, you know, my dog will eat just about any kind of food. And I look at the labels very closely.
Lucy will actually take a treat in her mouth or anything. And if she doesn't like it, she kind of lets it sit there for a second. And then she opens her mouth really slow and her tongue kind of rolls out like she's spitting. And whatever she took that didn't lie, she didn't like, she lets it fall onto the floor like, bleh.
We have one of those situations where Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, if she doesn't like a food, she'll put it down. But then if the cats get near it, if she sees that there's another dog interested in it, then all of a sudden
she likes it, right?
She likes it. She wants it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're funny.
Yep.
The way we test our dogs for if they like their treats is if they roll in it. You know, she'll take a treat and then she starts to roll in it. She wants to get the smell on her.
Yeah, before she eats it.
Really?
Yeah, she rolls all over.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, all over her neck and rolls her back on it and then she'll eat it.
I've had dogs, I threw a cherry tomato across the room one time and a dog that almost ran into the door to catch it because he loved him so much. If I gave one of those to Lucy, it would be on the floor in seconds.
Doesn't like the tomatoes, huh?
Nah.
See, I won't give them to Ladybug because if she rolls in it, it'll smash it all over the place.
Quite a mess.
Yeah.
I know that you're going to talk about that in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band, and forever you'll always be listening to Animal Radio. Keep loving those pets.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
A California woman who allegedly instructed her two daughters to steal a neighbor's dog was arrested on charges of contributing to the delinquency of a minor and grand theft. A witness to the dog napping told police he saw two young girls jump out of an SUV and snatch the small dog while a woman inside the car was shouting at them to hurry up. A week later, the girls, aged 7 and 9, were observed reacting strangely to a sign the dog owners posted offering a reward. They were sent to the principal's office where they confessed the stealing Guppy, a small Chihuahua Pekingese mix. Their mother, who was released on $20,000 bail, told police she took the dog to protect it from another dog in the neighborhood. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people, too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Admit it. You love your dog, and he is part of the family. So, when choosing your next vacation, don't forget Fido. With just a little planning, the entire family can enjoy a road trip. To find the best vacation spot for Spot, subscribe to Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog, where each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, where both you and Fido are welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and find out what all the barking's about.
Channel and cable, there they are, the crows. I have about 7 or 8 crows that come to my house. They're terrorizing me, but they're too smart. I can't get them. I don't know how they know, but like there'll be 7 of them in my yard. They land on my roof. They do what crows do, you know? It's like they're mocking me. As soon as I leave my chair and go downstairs and I look out the window, they're gone. They're like so smart. I had no idea crows were so smart. Smarter than me, anyway. Hi.
This is Ginger.
Ginger, my favorite spice.
Are you the one that's asking about men?
Yes, I need to know how to be one desperately. Oh, we lost her. Let's look around the internet. Man fights to keep pizza-eating pet alligator. The alligator's name is Gwendolyn. He's 13 feet long and David's taken care of him for 47 years. The alligator's even allowed inside the house.
Once he was in the house, he didn't want to leave. I think it took us like 3 weeks to get him to go back outside. He was on the couch all the time or in the bathtub.
He loves Chips Ahoy cookies.
Now we're excited. Now you like that, huh?
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Hey, I bet your diet has changed a lot with the healthier food revolution that we're going through, and chances are your pet's food has gotten a lot healthier too, as we see foods like kale and avocados, even quinoa, showing up in pet food bowls. And the reason behind it is what they're calling the pet humanization trend, which kind of translates into pet owners wanting the same quality and safety standards for their pet food as we get for human food. In fact, healthier premium dog food makes up nearly half of all of the dog food that is sold these days. And following in the footsteps of the popular premium brand Honest Kitchen, many brands are now touting that their dog food is made from human-grade ingredients. In fact, the Honest Kitchen box of dehydrated real food says you can eat the food, but they stress it's not made for humans. It is made to keep dogs healthy. Now, where do you think most people buy their pet food?
I would guess big box stores or their pet stores. Or I don't know. It depends where you live. Maybe
some
even Walmart.
Buy grocery stores.
Yeah.
Grocery stores is right. Ooh. They sell about a fourth of all pet food.
Wow.
But you don't see the premium brands there. But after grocery stores, supermarkets, is specialty retailers, your pet stores, and then drug stores.
Can drug
you imagine
stores,
saying,
wow.
I'm going to CVS, I'm going to Walgreens for
Rite Aid
cat food. Yeah. And then warehouse clubs account for the other 75%. But U.S. pet food sales totaled $23 billion last year.
Wow, that's
and
a
that,
B,
of course, yes,
billion.
That makes up more than a third of the, you know, that we know, $60+ billion that Americans spent on their pets last year. And if you ever wonder how people decide, which pet food should I buy? 45% of consumers say it all boils down to if their pets like the taste, if they eat it. Then next they consider the price. And then that all-important factor, is it made in the United States?
Which, you know, by the way, doesn't mean a lot. It needs to also be sourced in the United States, because you'll see a lot of stuff that's made in the U.S.
Exactly.
But the ingredients come from China.
You know, and it's so frustrating, too. If you look at a label and it says, you'll find that it says pea protein, pea powder, pea as in, you know, green peas.
Yes.
And the reason that they're allowed to break up all of those, you know, green peas and all those different components is because it may be made up mostly of green peas, but by dividing it up, it gives each one of those little areas a lesser amount and moves the total of meat, which is pretty general, up to the top of the list.
Ooh,
that's just
that's wrong. That's bad labeling.
That's unbelievable.
Okay. Now, while we're on the subject of pet food, the company that makes Velcro has sort of entered the pet food arena by working with Zoox natural food brands to integrate what they're calling the press lock closure into packaging for Zoox's new Ascent natural dog food line. Now, you know how hard it is to line up those tracks on those zip closed bags.
I hate those,
yes.
Oh, me too. Now, this new Velcro press lock is said to be very easy to use because you can hear and you can feel that the bag is tightly and securely closed without the need for that tedious and precise lineup and then check it. That seems to take forever. Australian scientists have developed a new anti-snake venom treatment, which they say is going to help save thousands of pets from deadly snake bites, since Australia, I didn't know this, is home to 10 of the most venomous snakes in the world.
Wow.
Now, as it is now, many Australian pets who suffer snake bites can't be saved with existing treatments because either they're so expensive or they don't work. And they don't even have a chance to work a lot of times because the current treatments are so hard to locate and then get it to the hospital in time. Now, once the final testing of the new anti-venom product has been completed, it'll then need the government's approval for sale, of course. But everybody's really hopeful because the new anti-venom can also be used for treating humans with snake bites and against the toxins of some certain kinds of ticks that can paralyze people. Larry, the very cool cat, if you haven't heard about him, has been employed by England's government for its rat chasing skills. But Larry, the good news is going to keep his job despite all the political things that have been going on over in England. And because Larry has served as the chief mouser at England's Downing Street residence of the British Prime Minister for several years because of his strong predatory drive. In fact, he was brought into Downing Street from a shelter 5 years ago, and this all happened after a large black rat, a huge one, was seen near cabinet members' offices during a live television broadcast. This big, huge rat just scurries across the floor. Well, apparently everyone had thought that the previous chief mouser, who was Humphrey, had eradicated their rat problem nearly 20 years earlier. But nope. Didn't happen. That's how it became Larry's job now, and he is there on Downing Street to save the day and probably, I'm sure, calm the fears of many employees who work there. I would be thankful for Larry.
I heard Larry wasn't that good at mousing. I don't know if that's true or not. Have you heard any of these rumors?
No, I've heard that
that he's supposed to be pretty good at it.
Yeah. How do you tell the difference between the rats and some of the politicians anyway? That's, I'm just curious about that. It's good to hear.
You can't.
Good to hear he's keeping his job.
Larry can tell the difference.
I love it. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news whenever you need it at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Doc. I have a couple questions. I have a 12-year-old Labrador that's been diagnosed with some elbow arthritis, and he's been getting real wobbly walking. The slightest little divot in the grass, he could literally almost fall over.
Okay, is that in the front end or the back end or both?
Well, the elbows seem to be the limping, the pain. The rear legs don't seem to be painful. They just seem to be loose, wobbly. And short walks are about that all he can do now. So I tried a little Rimadyl, had no effect. I tried the Medicam. I didn't see anything either. I've been giving him, aspirin or so every other day. That seems to be about the best. And then I've been giving him the liquid glucosamine, chondroitin, high potency in his dry food.
Okay.
I'm just worried that, he's in pain. I don't know how to tell.
Yeah, and that's a great question because it is hard to tell with osteoarthritis when a pet's in pain because a lot of the gradual signs kind of mimic that of just getting old. And it's very easy to just say, well, he's just, getting old. That's why he's doing that. But, if we're noticing that he's having trouble getting up and down from a lying position, if he does have some muscle loss or unsteadiness in the back legs, that can be associated with arthritis, but there can be some other causes there. So if he seems wobbly, I would look for explaining this by arthritis, but there still could be some other spinal disease or other neurologic things that could be going on causing an unsteadiness in the back end. So we might have some success with some pain management, but I kind of want to keep my eyes open that we're not missing anything else that's more than just arthritis here. So you mentioned a couple of the good non-steroidal pain remedies that we use, Rimadyl, Medicam. I don't use aspirin anymore. It's got such a long withdrawal time and causes GI ulceration for animals. So if those prescription ones didn't do the job, we can look at doing some different things.
I've never tried the Anaquin yet, though. I heard this morning on the radio, I heard a lady using her. You recommended to use Anaquin.
Oh, the Anaquin. Yes.
Anaquin.
And that was actually one of the things I was going to mention, because even like the liquid glucosamine, great thing to try. I have tried recently a product that has not just glucosamine, but also has avocado extracts. It goes by a brand name called Dasaquin, and they come in little chews. And I had some good success with some patients on that have been on glucosamine. And we just haven't seen quite enough results. But that is something you check with your veterinarian for. I don't think you'll find that in the general market.
Is Dasaquin a prescription?
It's not necessarily a prescription, but it's just a veterinary line. It's a nutraceutical, so it's a kind of a supplement, but it's kind of in the food form. But it is, like I said, it's usually a veterinary brand, so it's just not sold at Costco or, at the pet stores. And then, yes, the Anaquin, which can be very helpful to help keep that joint healthy, helps to prevent enzyme degradation in the joint. And, a lot of people, we have to give it by injection. That's the only thing that kind of puts some people off. But I've actually trained many of my clients to give these injections at home. And once we get through that initial period of twice a week for several weeks, they may give a shot once a month or every couple months, and it can kind of help give them a little more get up and go and comfort when we're talking about dealing with this chronic painful condition. So, yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to look at that. And for many people, we'll also look at fish oils. And just like people who have heart disease and arthritis, it has some benefits about decreasing inflammation in the body. And for animals, we can use that as well in that same way.
Are those anaquin injections, are they done in the area of the pain?
Good question. They're just given anywhere in the loose skin. And we used to have to give this in an intramuscular injection, which meant the veterinarian had to do that. But yeah, anywhere we can give a subcutaneous injection on the back, on the hip area, we can give that. It's really easy to do, and most pets take to it very well. So yeah, that might be something if you're comfortable with a needle thing and you're not a little needle shy. I look into that.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, everybody. This is Kenny Lee Lewis from the Steve Miller Band. Just want to tell everybody out there on Animal Radio, thanks for loving your pets.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating our connection with our pet. You know who's on the phone right now? Is Jeremy Feig. And he's a guy who, like me when I was young, I was a class A loser when I was young. I hit rock bottom. I was broke. I was alone. I was living in an apartment the size of a closet. The same for
Jeremy. Somebody cue the violin.
Jeremy was doing that too. But he looked down at his cat and he said, who was with him and also in the same situation, and the cat was perfectly content. He wanted to examine why, and he wrote a book about it called How My Cat Made Me a Better Man. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us, what was the deal? When you say you were at rock bottom, what, you were out of work? What, no girlfriend?
Yes and yes. Okay. It was basically like that. I was by myself living in this tiny shoebox of an apartment. The closet was actually bigger than the apartment itself, which really didn't help me because I didn't have much in the way of personal possessions either. And I was single, and I just, you know, every now and then I'd have a job that's very intermittent. But at the same time, I'd look down at my cat, Shelly, and she was in the same situation, but she was happy. So I said, you know, maybe there's something I should look at her a little bit. And if she can be happy, maybe I can too.
What'd you learn?
I think right off the bat, I was like, I basically realized you don't need a lot to be happy. You don't need to be surrounded by
things.
Material possessions,
yeah.
By all these different things. If you know, you're still alive, you got a roof over your head, you're able to buy cheap ramen noodles and eat dinner every night, then something's working, and just be thankful for what you've got.
And your cat told you all of this, Shelly? Your cat told you all of this?
Well, I had to read between the lines a little bit.
Okay.
She really kind of kept a lot of the information to herself, or she didn't share them out loud in English to me. But yeah, it's really... I really would watch her and then see how she could make herself happy in the same situation. So I figured, why not me too?
So she had to be a few years old to learn all this herself. She wasn't just a
kid. Oh, yeah, yeah. She was a stray for the first year of her life. And so, and this was in upstate New York. And so I would imagine that her life was pretty difficult then, you know, because she really probably had to scrounge around. I've seen stray cats around. They have to scrounge around for food and hopefully find an old abandoned building to sleep under, you know, and deal with the elements. And here it is now, and she's living in this little, what I thought was this tiny little shoebox apartment. She was probably like, wow, what a wonderful apartment.
Sure. Well, there's always somebody that's better off, and there's always someone that's worse off. And that's the one lesson that I've learned about life. And I look at my dog, and you see my dog, the big deal about my dog is where to hide the bone. She walks around all day with a bone in her mouth, trying to figure out where she's going to hide the bone. That's her big deal. And so it's all about perspective, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's an important decision your dog has to make. That bone could go anywhere, and it probably occupies him for hours trying to figure it out, I'd imagine.
So how's your life changed now? What are you doing now?
my apartment is larger. I'm married. I've got a little kid at home. Things are just better overall.
So what advice would you give someone who's looking down right now and just says their life is crap and miserable right now?
Well, I'd say a lot of it comes down to figuring out what it is that makes you happy. You know, a lot of people are kind of doing things because other people want them to do it or because they feel pressured. Maybe society or something is telling them to do a certain thing when they're forgetting to do the things that make themselves happy. That's a chapter in the book is about happiness. And that's really, I think, personally, the most important thing, to be a positive person, look at the things that make you happy. Now, I once gave my cat a little toy that was shaped like a lobster. And it was this adorable little crinkly lobster, and I thought, oh, she's going to love it. Shelly will go crazy over this. And I gave it to her, and she had no interest at all. It was just like, it was a dud of a gift. But then there was like a little the plastic wrapping that it came in. She found that, and she started batting that around. And she had a great time with that. That was her new favorite toy for a long time after that, this little piece of hard plastic. So she said, I'm not going to go with what you think will make me happy. I'm going to go with what I myself am into.
Ooh.
And I think that's really a lesson right there. You know, you can't do what other people think is right for you. You got to do what's right for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I love the chapters of the book. The book actually goes through some really important topics from grooming to fear, relationships, persistence, health, stress, careers, sharing, and happiness. Tell us a little more about what's in the book, especially the stress part, because I'll tell you, I'm one stressed out guy.
Well, as far as stress goes, like I've learned some other lessons. I once took her to the vet, and it was a big debacle of a visit. You know, we got there late in the day, so it was crowded. Shelly was antsy. We had to wait a long time, and we got in there. Let's just say it was an ugly situation of her scratching the vet assistant, peeing all over the table, and just completely freaking out, you know, very, very much leaving me embarrassed in her wake and feeling terrible for her. But I think the problem was that I brought her late in the day, and when she basically, when it would be a more difficult situation for her to get through. It was late in the day and crowded and everything. So from that point on, I said, all right, every time we have a vet appointment now, we're going to do it first thing in the morning. So there's almost no other cats or dogs there. You can get right in. We're going to bring treats in case there's any kind of bad situation that happens and just be prepared for it. So in that way, we kind of knew what the stress would be. And we said, let's make a game plan ahead of time. And that way we're able to deal with it more in the future. So even if you go through a stressful situation, you can learn from it and figure out how to improve things the next time that comes along.
Very good.
It is, and the book is great. So if you're one of these people right now that you feel like you've hit rock bottom, I want to give you a copy of this book. We have 10 copies to give away, so I need 10 really horrible stories of just, you know, being at the rock bottom, feeling like crap. Give me a call right now. How My Cat Made Me a Better Man is the book. Jeremy Feig, the author, that's spelled F-E-I-G. And, of course, we'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Jeremy, thank you so much for hanging with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
And thank you for standing up as a man and saying you love your cat.
You know, you very rarely hear
guys
say that.
Guys admit that.
More people need to do that. I'm here to represent.
It always flies by. I had so much fun today. Thanks for hanging with us. If you need your fix during the middle of the week, you say, I just need an Animal Radio fix. You can head on over to animalradio.pet. Have yourself a great week. We'll catch you next week for more Animal Radio right here.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio. Network.